Welcome to the podcast. Today we talk a little bit about critical race theory and all the craziness going on around it. We get into some stuff going in on schools. I have a little preview of tonight's Stu Does America, where we have actual craziness going on in schools in Pennsylvania. Another example of this, where they're teaching, you know, white privilege and all this nonsense to our kids in school. We'll get into that on Stu Does America, get into it as well on the show today. And Glenn has a special coming up right after my show on Blaze TV. Airs at 9 p.m. Eastern for Glenn, 8 p.m. Eastern for my show. Bottom line is, looking at how countries change and get taken over by Marxists, there's some real evidence here that Glenn has uncovered. He's been working on the show for, I want to say a couple of years, but at least 1 year, trying to get all this stuff locked down. Finally has it. It's going to air tonight. Don't miss it. Again, blazetv.com/Glenn. Promo code is Glenn. You can also get the shows on YouTube. I think it's youtube.com. It's the Blaze TV channel and Stu Does America channel. You can check them both out there. We also have Ken Paxton on, talking about a bizarre incident in Texas where the police, again, are just acting very strangely with protesters. I don't know why they're so forgiving to people breaking the law, but we learn about that a little bit and so much more. It's all in the podcast. Here it is.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
This is the Glenn Beck program. The main reason that I think we live in Texas and were prompted to move here to Texas was because if we lose Texas, we lose the republic. We lose it all. And most people don't understand how close we are to losing Texas. You know, it's interesting that the Democrats, they seem to like say, well, let's take Colorado. Okay, everybody move to Colorado. And they just take over a state. And they're doing that to Texas right now. And we are in real trouble in Texas, which is why who our governor is, who our attorney general is really, really important. We have the Texas attorney general. His name is Ken Paxton. And he has been instrumental in fighting many, many lawsuits against Obama and now against Biden and the left. I think we probably held Texas red this time around because of the tough stance he took in court against the leftists on what they were trying to do with us in Texas on our election policy. Welcome, Ken Paxton. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I want to talk to you about a couple of things. First of all, big news. The judge in California dismissed your lawsuit against Twitter. Can you comment on that?
Actually, just the opposite. We had sent them civil investigative demands, which were like interrogatories, questions about their practices in Texas and why they were deplatforming certain people and what their policies were on certain, you know, content moderation. And instead of giving us that information, which they're required to under Texas law, they sued us in California, hoping to get a federal judge to stop us.
That's right.
And she dismissed their case, which is the right answer. We have a right to that information. If they want to operate in Texas, you know, they can sue us in the Texas court, and we'll go to a court on Texas law. And I have a feeling they're not going to answer our questions anyway. So if they don't, we'll be back in court, but we'll be in a Texas court.
So, that'll be nice. I forgot. They were suing you, right?
They didn't want to
Twitter was. Correct. Yeah. I forgot about that. I was thinking about our lawsuit, you know, Texas lawsuit that is coming against them.
Yes. So, yes. So, right. We did sue Google. We have sued Facebook, but we have not sued Twitter. All we've done is start asking them questions, and they got very uncomfortable answering very simple questions about their policies.
And, like, what are the questions that you wanted to ask that they didn't want to tell you?
So we wanted to understand what their policies were. If they're out telling people they have a socially, you know, that you have free speech on your account, we wanted to understand what their policies were and how they were implementing those policies. Very simple questions about their actual practices and what they say their practices are. That's it.
Well, that would be nice to know. That is the biggest problem. I mean, Ken, you know, I mean, we're now the largest subscription, conservative subscription site in the world at The Blaze. And they are always messing with our algorithms. They are always screwing us. It's not just Twitter. It's all of them. And they will never give us a straight answer. They'll say, gee, no, nothing's going on. Look, here's the evidence. We can show it to you. Just tell us what we did so we can repair it or argue about it. But they won't give us information. And it seriously impacts our business. Seriously impacts.
Absolutely it does. And they hold themselves out as a place where you can get, you know, that there is free speech. So they're holding themselves out one way and they're operating another way. And so we want to understand that because consumers in Texas have a right to not be treated unfairly or have some type of deceptive trade practice, you know, done on them. And right now we have serious concerns about some of these tech companies.
I sincerely hope, and I imagine you are, but I sincerely hope you that Texas will stand behind its voices in the media, because I wonder every day how many more days, weeks, or months we have before they just completely just destroy us and say, you know, create your own internet.
Well, one of the things they're trying to do with me is they're trying to get the legislature to defund my ability to go fight them. And of course, I have no doubt they'll try to run somebody against me that will have lots of money to try to knock me out before I can finish up my lawsuit. So they have so much money they can fund opponents and they can fund, you know, other people to come like try to take my budget away so I can't go fight them. That's what I've been fighting all such long, to keep money so that I can fight these guys. And it's been a war inside the legislature.
Ken, let me talk about something else. I don't know what the federal government is supposed to do if they're not supposed to protect business, private business, from attacks from outside of the country and inside of the country. Yesterday, when the White House said, you know, this is a private matter with the Colonial Pipeline, and, you know, if they decide to pay the ransom, then that's their business. I mean, I've never heard an official ever say we negotiate with terrorists. How is this not the primary primary responsibility of the U.S. government to protect businesses from things like this?
Well, look, new warfare is exactly what we're talking about. Because cybersecurity attacks are how these countries and these terrorist nations can ruin your country without ever walking across your border. And that's exactly the types of things that the federal government should be protecting us against, because nobody else has the resources to take on other governments and other. Who else is going to do it? So it's ridiculous for them to say that's a private issue, when in reality, if they aren't going to do anything about it, these countries will destroy us from the outside in without ever firing a shot.
If Texas main infrastructure was threatened, let's say the electricity grid, which is separate from everybody else, if that was being threatened and what happened to us was from a cyber hacking, would you have recommended to anyone that they pay the ransom, that the Texas power grid pays the ransom?
No, I mean, that we would do everything possible to try to prevent that. The problem we have is that, and I've dealt with this with cities who've had this happen to them, somehow they've gotten into their backup. So you don't even have a way to go back and back it up. And so it's going to be tremendous cost that they have no way to pay if they don't pay the ransom. So it's a really awful situation that we need to find a way to address proactively, or we're going to see more and more of this.
Bad. Okay, one last thing. In Plano last weekend, a police officer was standing right there as an anarchist pulls out a gun and points it at a Plano citizen, and the police do nothing. I never thought I would see this in Texas. What's happening?
You know, I am such a fan of law enforcement and defending them, because they have so much pressure on them. They get criticized for doing their job, and they have a really hard job and have to make split-second decisions. But when you let somebody, these groups, just come in and take over a highway, you create a tremendous risk for them, because they can get hit by a car. You create tremendous risks for the people in the car, and it's against the law. And the police should enforce the law. And these people have every right to protest, just not in the middle of a highway. They may be right. They may be right about what they're protesting. Even if they're not, they have a right to protest under our Constitution, but not in the middle of a highway in a busy intersection.
So what happened in Plano? What happened? How did that break down?
They just let them stay, and they arrested the guy that was complaining about it. And it just seems kind of bizarre to me that the very guy that was being held up in traffic and complaining about it is the guy that gets charged, and everybody else can break the law, and they get to no consequence.
I mean, this is like how it started in Portland. What are we as a state going to do? Can you do anything with the local? I really appreciate the fact that we are bifurcated as governments, but what can you do? Anything?
All I can do is speak out and say this is wrong, because these cities, they hire a city manager who hires a police chief. It's all local control. It's all based on the voters in that city as to whether they're going to allow this to continue. So I can speak out, but I don't have the authority to go tell the police chief, hey, you need to follow the law.
I don't think I have ever seen a time in America where we need the individual, and we don't even need experts in, you know, this, department, or expert in this department. I mean, it helps, but we need people with just basic common sense. No, that's wrong. You're going to arrest those people and not arrest that person. You know what I mean? We need common sense. We need the average Joe in office right now.
You know, you say that. Somebody told me I was courageous for speaking out. I said, it's not courageous. It's common sense. Anybody would think it's a bad idea, I think, to protest in the middle of a busy intersection by a freeway. It makes no sense. Why would you allow that when there's so many other places you could protest safely?
You know, I've told this story a million times, but I think about it almost every day. When I was over in Auschwitz, I talked with my family to a woman who had been one of the righteous among the nations. When she was very young, she saved Jews and hid them in her barn of her family, and saved a lot of people. And I asked her, I said, how do you water the seed of righteousness in people so when those tough times come, they're ready? And she said to me, you misunderstand. The righteous didn't suddenly become righteous. They just didn't go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. And that's why what you're saying here about courage is so true. You just have to remember what you grew up knowing was right and knowing what was wrong. It's very simple. Everybody makes it so complicated. It's not. What were you taught on the difference between right and wrong? Stand for those things.
It's easy. Not, I agree. It's not complicated. And I think my kids, when they were in junior high, would have known it was a bad idea to protest. Whether they knew it was against the law, they would have known it was a bad idea to protest in the middle of a busy intersection.
This is just parents that didn't take their kid by the ear at some point in their life and go, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? You know what I mean? If any of us would have been playing in the street, let alone a highway, our parents would have grabbed us by the ear, thrown us in the back of the car, and the punishment would have been extreme. But they would have started with, what the hell is wrong with you? It's that clear.
Well, I can tell you that I had one of my top attorneys call the police chief just so we could try to understand, why are you doing this? And his answer was, well, we can't do anything about these people. Well, you know, it'll create too much problem. Because, you know, of who they are. And so, what can we do? And I'm like, how about just enforce the law and treat everybody the same? I mean, I don't care what group they're from. I don't care if they're from a pro-life group or a BLM group. If they're protesting in the middle of a road, it's a bad idea.
Well, people in Plano, you should show up at your next city council meeting, and you should be questioning your city manager and your mayor on this. This is insanity, just insanity. Ken, thank you for keeping the watch, and thanks for doing what you're doing. Please keep us up to date on Twitter and everything else. One more thing, I've got about 30 seconds for you to answer. We are saying now that anyone can carry a gun, and it's a constitutional carry. If we are naming it a constitutional carry, how come we haven't been doing that the whole time?
You know what? It's a good question. I've always wondered why. We have a Second Amendment. People, I think, have always had the right to do it, but states have limited that, and I don't think that's right. I think people do have a right to carry under the Second Amendment, whether there's a law in the state or not. I mean, that was the whole point, right? That people, that the founders wanted us to be able to protect ourselves, not from each other, but from the government. And so if the government can limit you on that ability, then that's not the Second Amendment. That is not the Second Amendment. So, look, I'm just glad Texas is moving in this direction. It is the right direction.
Me too.
And unfortunately, there are plenty of other states who ignore the Constitution, and people are not allowed to carry.
Thank you so much. Ken Paxton, Attorney General of the great state of Texas. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
You can call it what you want, cultural Marxism, neo-Marxism, progressivism, the new American left, whatever. They all have, it's all saying the same thing now. The radical rhetoric and policies that will bring violent consequences. Now, how can you possibly say that? Glenn, we're just trying to make the country better. No, you're not. No, you're not. At this point, if you are for these radical policies, you are a Marxist or you're a rube. It is destroying our country and pulling us apart. The calls for defunding the police because they're racist, all left of officers to be ambushed and killed. Police are being held back. Crimes are spiking in record numbers. Crime is going up faster than the price of food in America. Faster than the price of lumber in America. And that's saying something. Critical race theory is now absolutely everywhere in our government, corporations, and our schools. Revolution is what they want. Tearing the entire system down is the goal, and the Marxists did it in places like the Soviet Union. They did it in China. They did it in Germany. In all of those cases, people are blamed. It's those people over there. We've never been like that here in America. And the ones who feel it the hardest when things really get trouble, it's not the real rich, it's the landowners and the farmers. And I'm going to show you something that I have wanted to bring to you for at least 2 years. And it is a very dicey situation because it's complex. It would be like saying that all of America's problems are caused by Marxists. It's not. It's not. All of America's problem is because of this push and rush to a race war. It's not. It's much more complex. And I have not been able to show you this stuff because I wanted the hardcore evidence. I wanted the videotapes to show it, and I wanted the whole story. Well, we've been working on it now for months, and I think through divine providence, it's happening tonight. Because when I started this 2 years ago, it wasn't about us. It was about this situation that someone had to speak out against. And now it's just a glimpse into our future, our near future. And you will understand it tonight. You'll understand what's happening in America unlike you've ever understood it before. And you will see why all of these admirals and generals came out yesterday and wrote a letter and said, our republic is at stake right now. We are in more trouble than we have been in since 1776. And if the American people don't stand up and they don't get involved locally, we're not going to make it. You'll understand that much more tonight at 9 o'clock. Just a warning, don't watch it with your little kids. I know a lot of families like to watch the program. This is not one for sensitive children or little children. I think you could watch it with your teenagers. I think, in fact, you should watch it with your teenagers. Maybe it will help put their feet in cement on what we're facing. But there is some disturbing video, but we have to show it so you believe it. Because I don't think, well, I know. The reason why it's taken us 2 years is because you don't know who to believe. Well, in this case, you can believe your eyes. It's revolution on the rise. How Marxism's early stages are happening right now. Don't miss tonight's show. You can find this on Pluto TV. You can find it on youtube.com/BlazeTV. Also, blazetv.com. Use the promo code Glenn and save on your subscription. If you're not yet a member, I urge you to become a member. We need to stick together now more than ever, and we rely on you to be able to do especially these long-term kind of investigations like this. Tonight, you don't want to miss it. Revolution on the Rise, 9 p.m. Eastern on blazetv.com/Glenn, youtube.com/BlazeTV, and Pluto. Okay. There's a new poll out. The survey performed by the firm Competitive Edge Research, released by the educational research and advocacy group Parents Defending Education, found that 74% of respondents are somewhat or strongly opposed to white privilege training and to schools communicating minorities are inherently oppressed. Only 6% of the population was for this. Six. If you feel overwhelmed and you feel you're alone, only 6% are for this. The rest are too afraid to say anything. At this point, they don't have guns. What are you afraid of? All is required is you to group together and speak out. Go and run for your school board. Get on to your city council. Do whatever you have to do to protect what's being taught in our schools and get this. This is worse than Common Core. This is much worse than Common Core. This is re-education. This is indoctrination of our children. And it is so destructive. The only way I can truly describe it is evil. And I describe it as evil because tell me the good that comes out of teaching our children that the only way to stop discrimination is to discriminate. The only way to stop racism is to be a racist in the other direction. Tell me the good that comes out of, hey, kids, you'll never make it because of them. Not good. It is not good. There is a narrow sliver of the farthest left voters that view woke education favorably. A small 6% sliver. I deliver the message to you today, and I have said this to you since 2007. You are not alone. You are in the majority. However, that sliver is in charge of a lot of stuff. I'm going to give you two examples. The entire Oklahoma City Board of Education denounced a law passed last Friday that bans critical race theory in public schools, calling it racist and an insult. This is the school board on record after the House and the Senate passed a law and said no critical race theory. They freaked out. They said, according to the school board, that they worry House Bill 1775 will prevent accurate lessons involving race and history. That's so much bullcrap, I can't even, there's not a big enough shovel for that bullcrap. There is no one that wants accurate history taught more than me or probably you. I know the dark history of America. I can out-dark you on American history. I don't care if you're Van Jones. I can make Van Jones' hair stand up and turn white. I can tell you the bad things that America has done. especially in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But that's not who we are. That's who we were. And that's who we should never, ever become again. And we should talk about the triumph over that kind of evil. I want all of it to be talked about. I am so sick and tired of people thinking that Andrew Jackson on our $20 bill is a decent guy or just an okay president. I think he ended the republic that the founders built. I think that's when we actually took our first turn away from, well, I know it, from divine providence to manifest destiny. Completely an un-American idea. Manifest destiny is not an American idea. So they're freaking out. That's in Oklahoma. That's not New York. That's Oklahoma. So if you think you live in a place less conservative than Oklahoma, you've got problems. Because all members of the school board said this was an outrage that they can't teach critical race theory. Now, let me give you another story. This one from the Daily Caller. Teachers at Tennessee public schools criticized the state's ban on critical race theory instruction, saying it will hurt their ability to teach students about racism. I have no problem teaching about racism. I have every fiber in me is against teaching anti-racism, because that is racism. Tennessee General Assembly banned CRT instruction in early May, preventing schools from teaching students and individual that it is inherently racist as a group or as an individual or an oppressor because of their race. Blah, blah, blah. Or you can also taught that teach that the U.S. is inherently a racist country. I mean, what happens to all the other countries that that were built on slavery? What happened to those countries? Why are we the only one that is inherently racist? How about Egypt? How about Egypt? How about England? How about Brazil? How about Mexico? You know, I'm reading this great book called The Fingerprints of the Gods, and it's a search for the true history of humanity. The theory is that humans didn't just pop up 6,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago. Humans were here before, and there was a very technological savvy race of people that had technology in some regards as much as we did, and it destroyed itself. Something happened. Anyway, this guy, scientist, historian, is going around the world, and he's finding evidence of all of these things. You know, how did this happen if it wasn't there before? Who actually is responsible for all these things? And he's on South America, and he's talking about, you know, the Aztecs and, you know, how bad the Aztecs were. And then he said, you know, Spain comes in and they just slaughter all of the Aztecs. Well, what about Spain? Really? You want to talk about taking over a nation? Spain. They come over. And now everybody's speaking Spanish. Spain. Spanish. How come Mexico isn't inherently racist? So sick of it. Anyway, I digress. Liz Jarvis, an English teacher, she teaches English as a second language in Memphis. She plans to flout the law. She says she says the law favors white children. To be frank, the bill will not make it harder for my personal classroom because I plan to ignore it. Who's going to enforce it? This is a bill that viciously favors white children and ignores the needs of children of color. So there's at least one teacher that says it doesn't matter. There are a lot of teachers. Why? because they were indoctrinated. Why become a teacher? You think you're going to be able to change the world? And I mean, you're somebody plotting to change the world. Why become a teacher? Unless you're going to become a teacher that teaches teachers. Why have 40 students or 25 students and just teach them? Why not teach 100 students who are then going right after your class to teach? You teach far too many people that way. It's perfect. That's why our universities have been infiltrated for so long. Teach the teachers. Teach the leaders of tomorrow. And the leaders of tomorrow, the ones who are going to be directly from you, right into CEOs, you know, in a few years, right into the classroom, give them the indoctrination first. And then when the time is right, they will indoctrinate. They believe it. Because many of them have already been indoctrinated. The poison is already in them. And I have to tell you, unless your teachers stand up against it, if there's any, well, but we kind of understand critical race, stand up in your community and fire the teachers. Fire them. Get the labor unions out of your classrooms. But you've got to stand up. This is the Best of the Glenn Beck Program, and we really want to thank you for listening. I want to spend some time today just giving you an update on the economy. The inflation rate is now 4.2%. Now, that's because we calculate things differently, and quite honestly, times change, so we're not buying the same things, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not that dramatic. They have changed the way we calculate the CPI, the inflation, the cost of products that everybody needs. We changed that formula back in 1980. Then we changed it again in 1990. So if we look at our 4.2% and we compare it to where we would be in today's inflation, if you grew up in the 90s and you saw the inflation number, you would go, oh, we're at that inflation rate. So let's compare it, because you can't say, oh, inflation, it was much worse under Jimmy Carter. Let's take what we have today and calculate it the same way. Then we can compare it. You can't say, you know what? Since we started using the metric system, you know, I mean, it's crazy. Everything's gotten shorter or longer or whichever it is. You have to use the same calculation on both ends. So let's use what we find from shadowstats.com, where they give us the calculation of today's numbers in the same way that they did in the 1990s. So 4.2%, if we calculated it the same way we did in the 90s, would be how much, Stu?
In the 90s would be about 8%.
Okay. So our government has found a way to cut that in half. Congratulations. So what that means is, when you're looking at the 4.2, generally speaking, you're looking at a number that would have been 8% inflation in the 1990s. So when Clinton was in office, if we had what's going on today, they would have said, we're running 8% inflation. That's a huge number, a huge number. Now, Jimmy Carter, when Reagan got in, 1980 was the worst year of inflation. If we, and what was inflation then? 13% under Jimmy Carter?
It hit up, 13, almost 14, 15% at times.
Okay.
But over 13.
It was horrific during the 70s. It was country killing kind of inflation. And then Reagan got in and changed some things, and we got it under control. So what is our inflation compared to then? It was 13 to 15% inflation at the top of the worst parts of Jimmy Carter. What are we at today at the beginning of this inflationary period, if we calculate the same way they did in the Carter years?
Yeah, according to some of these guys who try to figure this alternate inflation out, they say it's over 11% right now.
So we're at the beginning where people are still saying, we're not seeing inflation. No, we're not seeing inflation. And Bank of America is saying, we're seeing transitory hyperinflation coming. Okay? No, no, we're not. If you calculate it the same way, generally speaking, in the 1980s, you calculate the same way. We're almost at the beginning of this, almost in the worst parts of the Carter years. And it's not going to get better, because the way you stop inflation is you pull money back. You discourage people from spending money. And you do that by making it harder and harder to get money, to get a loan, to get a credit card. That's how you make inflation go back down, because you have to destroy all of the money that was printed for the stimulus. So you got to suck that back into the system and destroy it. The only way to do that is through higher interest rates. The Fed said, and I'm trying to figure this out, the Fed said that they're not going to raise interest rates until we have a steady inflation rate of about 2%. Wait, we're already more than double that number. And the way you bring it down to 2% is you make it harder for money to be spent or borrowed. So you're saying you're not going to do those things. How is it like the scale when you stand on it? Stu and I were talking about it earlier. You stand on a scale, you know how it goes past zero. I only weigh 21 pounds. That's it. Because it starts over. Once it goes to a certain number, it just starts at zero again. Mm-hmm. Is that how inflation works?
Pretty sure that's how it works. Yeah, that's okay. Definitely how my scale works.
All right. So let me explain inflation in another way. Let's just it's easy math. Let's just use 10% inflation. If you want to go the way the government is calculating today, it's 4. It's 4.2 official today. If you want to look at it more realistically, it's probably between 8 and 11 from where you remember when you were growing up. But let's just use 10% inflation as an example. If we have 10% inflation, which I claim we do because of the shadow stat numbers, they're playing a game with it. If we have 10% inflation, that means year over year, if you had $100 in the bank, $100 worth of buying power, you still have $100. That's what it says on the ledger. But you can only you only have the buying power of $90. So you've lost $10 this year for every $100 that you have. But this is year over year. So if next year, 2022, is as delightful as this year is, and let's just say it stays flat at 10%, you now have 80 cents, right?
81, Stu? Yeah, 81.
Mm-hmm. 81, because of 90%, so you lose 9 cents. Then you have 72 cents?
73, yeah.
73 mm-hmm. the next year, mm-hmm. And so on and so on. You'll see that... with inflation, this is how people become poor. This is what happened in Venezuela. This is what happened in Cuba. This is what happened in Germany. This is what happens in Zimbabwe. This is what happens everywhere they print money and spend to get out. What happens is the money becomes worth less and less. So the products seem like they're going up in price, but they're not going up in price. And the politicians will tell you, it's these companies, it's the policy of these companies hoarding all of that money. They're just getting rich. No, it's the policies of the central bank and the government spending too much and then buying their own debt and printing more money. That's what causes inflation. and they'll blame it on someone else because they create the problem. They, of course, will have the solution. Chuck Schumer's solution. Did you hear this yesterday, Stu? Chuck Schumer actually came out and said inflation is happening because we don't have the workers. And the reason why we don't have the workers is not because we're paying them to stay home. No. It's that Donald Trump didn't let enough illegal aliens in so they could have jobs. So we're not getting products built because we don't have enough illegals coming across the border because of Donald Trump. That's the kind of stuff that leads you into Weimar. Because it's a sickness. It's a mental disorder. It really is. It's a mental disorder. You are so far from reality. You're either sick. You're so deluded yourself that you're sick. Or you know exactly what you're doing and you're part of the problem. Which is it, Chuck? Because it's only two.
With Chuck, I think it's both. I mean, to be fair, I think he's both sick and part of the problem. So I don't know. There's much of a distinction you can make with Chuck in particular, but you're right. It's a massive, massive problem. And I don't think the American people necessarily have felt any of this pain yet. Right. We're still when you rush sugar into an economy like this. Right. You can, of course, you can have some positive early effects from it. Right. I mean, everyone knows that you can quote unquote add jobs if you just start paying people $50,000 to sit on their couch, right? In theory, like you could say it's a job and people have jobs and they're making money. We also know that that's not a sustainable long-term way of doing business. And when you have multiple trillions of dollars going out the door in multiple bills, I mean, not even just one of them, at least three. Giant bills that are just going to spend and spend and spend on the back of a year where we already spent $10 trillion. It's going to test everything we ever thought as conservatives, right? All this time we were like, eventually this is going to catch up to us. I don't know how this isn't going to happen.
It's here. And they're only doubling down. Let me give you one more thing. This is from Stanley Druckenmiller. He's one of the big investment titans in America. And he came out yesterday on CNBC and he said, I can't find any period in history where monetary and fiscal policy were this out of step with the economic circumstances. Not one. He says the Fed has continued its policies to help underwrite the spending binge in Congress, which has allowed more than $5 trillion in stimulus and is contemplating trillions more in infrastructure-related spending. Over the long haul, he said, the policies and heavy debts and deficits they support will threaten the dollar's standing as the world's reserve currency. That status means the dollar is accepted for transactions and as a store of wealth anywhere and is widely held by central banks around the world. If they want to do all of this and risk our reserve currency status, risk an asset bubble blowing up, so be it. But I think we at least ought to have a conversation about what all of this means. If we're going to monetize our debt, we're going to enable more and more of this spending, and it looks like we are, I'm worried that for the first time within 15 years, we're going to lose the world's reserve currency status. And of course, all of the unbelievable benefits that accrued with it. People don't understand why world reserve currency status is so important. We become Mexico the day we lose that.